your word for us now, that in it we might find life and hope and freedom. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do have a seat. Now, if I say the word governance to you, it's a very dry word, isn't it? And I'm sure if you've ever been on the PCC or a board of trustees of a charity, then that word conjures up thoughts of regulations and policies and procedures, all the boring but very necessary stuff that you have to do to show that you're running your organisation safely, fairly and legally. Of course, it's not just a word that applies to smaller organisations and charities where sometimes it can sort of seem onerous and bureaucratic. When it comes to those governing nations or those running literally world-dominating corporations, governance, and particularly good governance, ensuring that what they do is safe and fair and legal, well, then it becomes something very, very important, doesn't it? People's lives may depend on it. Over these coming weeks of Advent, we're going to be thinking about a certain type of governance, God's governance. The prophet Isaiah promised, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." As we journey through Advent, we look forward to the coming of that child, but not just as he was born some 2,000 years ago, but we look forward to the coming of the Son in all his glory, as one day he comes to reign, to govern over all things. And the question that we'll ask ourselves over these weeks of Advent is, how does this Son govern? What will his governance look like? Again, Isaiah tells us, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those will be the qualities that characterize his rule. He is all those things. And each of those titles carries a deep meaning and profound implication for how we live our lives. For each week, our gospel reading reflects how Jesus embodied or taught about these truths, while our psalm readings will reflect the writer's own experience of those characteristics of God. And so this week we begin with Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful. It's a word that we kind of perhaps bandy around a bit too much, really, and diminish it somewhat. We had a wonderful time at Auntie Maureen's. But literally, it means full of wonder and the miraculous, things beyond our imagining or understanding. This is someone who can do more than we can ask or imagine, as St. Paul writes. This is someone who will constantly surprise us, someone we can't put in a box and contain within our own expectations. If you think you have Jesus sussed, then believe me, you really haven't. Just when you think you've got him pegged down, he'll do something to blow your mind and stretch your thinking even further. The Gospels are full of examples of Jesus doing just that, going beyond people's wildest expectations. As well as his miracles, they're constantly amazed in wonder at the authority and his wisdom that he teaches with. And we can see that even from when he's a child, as we heard in our gospel reading this morning. And then there's the word counselor. It was a word often referred to or applied to the role of the king or leader in the Old Testament, someone who's there to advise and guide the people. This promised son, says Isaiah, is someone who will be the embodiment of wisdom knowledge and understanding. There'll be no question they won't know the answer to, no dilemma they won't be able to resolve, no problem they won't be able to solve. Wonderful counselor. Later in chapter 28, Isaiah refers to the Lord Almighty himself as being wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom. Is it just a coincidence that he describes this child is to be born in almost identical terms? Or is Isaiah letting us know that he believes this child who will come will be no less than the Lord Almighty himself? I don't know if sometimes you feel you could really use a wonderful counsellor in your life, maybe even right now. Someone that you can take your problems to, someone you can take your worries to, someone to go to for guidance. I wonder how different the world might be if some of those in government in the world sought God's counsel for themselves, to guide their actions and not merely to justify them. So how do we seek and find the all-surpassing wisdom and guidance of the wonderful counsellor for ourselves? And how does he help us? Well, a good start would be in the book he's given us. The writer of Psalm 119 spends 176 verses saying how much he loves the rules and commands, yes, really, of God. That sounds a bit strange, but he finds, he says, that following God's governance brings him delight, joy, hope, freedom, insight, understanding, and wisdom. And those are just some of the things he describes as finding in that relatively short section that we read from Psalm 119. In God's word, we find commands and advice for living well. We have stories of people that we can learn from, sometimes what to do, and quite often what not to do. We have promises to reassure us and uplift us. We're reminded of just who God is, his power, his patience, his love, his mercy. And we're reminded of who we are in relation to God. So often wayward, but so loved. The psalmist is able to draw on that understanding and wisdom. He's able to discover that joy, hope, and freedom because he meditates on God's word, he says. In other words, he doesn't just read it, but he kind of chews on it and mulls it over, wrestles with it, and then puts his trust and hope in it. And that's how we will tap into its wonderful counsel for our own lives as well. There are some things that the psalmist really hopes for as he chooses to follow God's counsel, even through suffering and hardship. He prays God will preserve his life according to God's word. He asks God to take away his disgrace and shame because God's laws are good. There's hope in that, isn't there? I'm guessing his hopes and prayers were answered. He prays for the Lord's salvation, just as God's promised. And I'm guessing that they are answered prayers because he continues to praise God for his law. And it's a wonderful lesson that we can pray with confidence for things God has promised in his word. And all this is true for the psalmist, and he only had the Old Testament. Now that's a good lesson for us not to neglect reading that. But how much more wonderful counsel do we have to draw on with the New Testament as well? And we have that fulfillment of that promised child, the son who came to fulfill God's law. The word made flesh, he embodied it and lived it for us. We have his teachings too, and we have his Holy Spirit, the ongoing and indwelling presence of the Counselor, as Jesus promised to send us. How incredible to be able to say that the wonderful Counselor's word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. To be able to say, it gives me the guidance I need, it helps me to find my way and not stumble, it brings me such comfort and reassurance when life's path seems dark. I would definitely want some of that. And if I know I want and need that in my life, then I can be sure that there will be others out there who would want and need the same. In fact, there's a whole world out there. Everyday people like you and me, and world leaders and corporate giants who need to know the reassurance, the challenge, the guidance, the hope and freedom that the psalmist talks about. That's precisely why he does talk about it. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, he prays. I will speak of your statutes before kings, and I will not be put to shame. Now that's a challenge, isn't it, for all of us? If there is indeed guidance and wisdom and joy to be found in these words, then we really can't keep them to ourselves. We need to find ways of sharing them so that we can have words of insight and hope to share with those around us when those opportunities arise. It might not mean having to know chapter and verse. Somebody gave me a lovely little bookmark the other day with some scripture on it. That's very easy to do, isn't it, to give to somebody? We had some pens and bookmarks and key rings on the bookstall with little Bible verses on it. And somebody came to me one week, I think it might have been David's son or son-in-law, and said, that verse on that key ring that somebody gave me the other week was just what I needed to hear. And it's a verse that's kept coming up for me to be strong and courageous, has kept coming up. And again, somebody gave it to me on a key ring. Those are simple, easy little ways of sharing the wonderful Counselor's guidance and wisdom and hope with other people, so that they too can come to know Jesus, the wonderful Counselor, for themselves. Amen.